trouble?
He is not, actually. The one next to him is trouble.
Okay.
And the one on the other side of him is trouble.
I suspect it was. So do we last meeting at 6? Are we on that?
Oh, yes.
Fine, I can tell you that for sure, because I'm there.
Did she call you? Did they have a church call you?
No, I don't know anything about this.
Well, yeah, you will when you read into it.
I mean, well, nobody called me on
it. Oh, okay. It's one of those good things that happened to you. But you remember the property.
Well, that sure sounds good.
Sits off on the south of F Highway. It's the used car lot slash motel slash. Yeah, I know.
Are we going to talk about this tonight?
Mm-mm. It's fine.
I need to come by and visit with you maybe later in the weekend about them.
The fence?
No.
Okay.
Well, we can.
I got your note.
There's nothing else you need from us.
No.
No, just the stuff you're going to send on the commission since I won't be here to talk about.
Okay.
I don't really have any big changes.
I think there's a couple that we want to make.
Those are the ones we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Okay, and I'll make sure they're aware of those tonight.
I might just call them first then. Okay.
Do you want these? Yes, I do. Okay, good. She tell you anything here? Okay. He didn't know that.
He doesn't know yet.
No, he does because I called him.
Oh, okay. Hey.
Are you going to be Eddie tonight?
No, I'm not.
Oh, he's going to be Eddie. Okay.
Rick caught that.
Nice. He's out of order already.
Eddie, are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the regular meeting of the Taney County Planning Commission. This is Monday, June 21st. It is 6:01 p.m. Mr. Coxey, if you'll please establish a quorum for us.
Mark Blackwell. Jim Bronner.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
And Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do. Okay. And if you'll go ahead and do the procedures for tonight's meeting.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division 3 application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the chairman or the commission. If you do not accept the decision of this commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the planning office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. And you may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay. First item on the agenda is the review and action of the minutes of May 10th and May 17th. Assuming that you have received those in your packets and that you have had some time to kind of look at them, would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes of May 10th and May 17th.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes for May 10th and May 17th, the year 2010. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. Let's move to the final vote phase of our meeting. There are three issues under consideration. The first one is Branson Land LLC. Let's move on to that, Mr. Coxey, if you'll...
This is the cell tower out at the Branson Airport. You had some questions concerning whether it was going to be lighted or not. I believe you got the return answer was that it was not required that it be lit, but they would be lighting that themselves. The closest thing in the fall radius of this tower was going to be the water tower that's out there on site, and it was going to be at least, I think, 50 yards away, if I'm not mistaken, something like that.
I thought they said 200 feet.
200 feet. Yes, sir, you are correct. I believe basically that was all that you had. This is going to be a tower that is constructed by the Branson Land LLC. They will be the owners of it, not the cell companies. They will allow them to lease that. Your only other concern was that they have some kind of provisions for dismantling that in the event that it would go away. So just remember that as you would make your motions, or if you choose to make a motion for.
Okay. And I think we all remember that was the discussion about if and when that tower ceased to be functional for whatever reason, that the company would agree to dispose and dismantle the tower.
What kind of time frame did we put on it?
The reason I brought that up was it's the first time I think a privately owned one has been brought before us rather than a company. And that was the reason that was brought up.
Right. Normally, the cell tower company that's contracting, leasing the land, would have an agreement with the owner to dismantle that. But since the owner of the land is the one building this, that contract won't exist like that.
We talked about limiting a statute of limitations, the life expectancy or something, or life usage of that tower. What if they decided to sell it? Would the new owners have any reason to come back before us at all?
As long as they do not exceed the provisions that have been granted to this particular owner, we would let them continue. If Branson LLC decided to sell this within, and they'd only had two people co-locate on this, and then two or three more people wanted to come in, there would be no issue to us at all. We would, as long as they were the owner of record and they were going to do the expansion, we would be okay with that. Normally, too, you want to make sure that the decision of record, which we would enforce, and it would be their responsibility during their due diligence to make sure that they were aware that when this ceases to operate, I got to take it down. That becomes their responsibility.
The decision of record follows them.
Yeah, that's what we've done in the past.
Eddie, how long do you recall about how long we give them after what the provision is for those other cell towers if?
A lot of those started dismantling within 90 days. A lot of times, they would say it'll be totally gone within 6 months, once it ceased to operate. Now, ceased to operate, you may say, nobody's been functioning on this for a year. It's ceased to operate, or you can, set some kind of a time frame there. Or if you just say, if this has not been in operation for 90 days, then this clause kicks in or something like to that effect. But I don't know how we would test to see if it's operating or not. I mean, I suppose if all the building equipment was gone. I don't have any signal here.
Yeah. Well, but there's another issue, and there are five little buildings in conjunction with the tower.
Yes, ma'am.
What about making sure that they remove those buildings? Is that an issue?
Can be all part of your decision of record if you so choose.
I'm more concerned about the tower, which is
understand.
What.
Yeah, they may choose to keep those little buildings and use them for storage or something else, or as times change, that might become useful as something else. I don't know, since it's set aside, that we really care. I think the bigger issue is that the tower would go into disrepair and potentially topple onto something and cause a problem. These buildings would be no difference to me than a storage building or. Yes,
would it be also possible in the case of this tower to be used also as not just by the cell tower, but maybe radio communications or the airport?
I suppose they could do that, and as long as they don't increase
without modification or increase in height.
If they don't increase the footprint, I don't see why we would care. Unless it's causing some kind of a public nuisance. I mean, if they made a bungee swing out of it or something like that, it might be an issue. But
a zip line across the airstrip.
Are they going to go ahead and build those buildings?
Those buildings are prefab buildings, and they come out on a truck and they just slide down in there. And what will happen is, as they have someone to locate on that tower, they will want that building to house the equipment for their switching equipment, that kind of thing like that. So I don't know if that will be a building provided by the Branson Land LLC, or if that'll be the responsibility of the actual person who's operating the cell on the cell tower there to put that down there.
Is there anyone here from Branson Land?
Yeah, is the representative from Branson Land LLC here?
You got to be kidding.
Surely not.
We told them last week to be back in the public meeting. So
that's a no-brainer. You table it till next time.
Yep. Okay, well, let's move on.
I make a motion we table it.
Okay, is there a second?
A second.
Okay. Let's move on to the second one, cabins at Branson Creek. And we do have Mr. Wolf here, I assume, as the representative for this. And again, this is 276 units or cabins, rustic in style, whole ownership, second home concept here out in the middle of Branson Creek.
These will also be nightly rental.
They could be.
Could be. Don't have to be, but they have the, wanted to have
but
that
they would
option.
Be controlled by the Branson Creek people themselves.
Right,
not
with on-site management
rental.
And everything. Specifically had asked, you wanted to be have a little more clarity on what the amenities were going to be as far as the convenience store. I think there's three buildings down here in this corner here that you wanted to make sure that you knew what you were, and then the horse stables and stuff were up in this area.
Right.
So I think we'd kind of settled on that was going to be a convenience store with gasoline,
right.
An office for the management company.
Right now, they're not planning on putting any gasoline in. Okay. They're just talking about a general store because they're going to have office space underneath the top floor on the basement area. They're going to use that as office space there. And because we put some parking up there on that north side to accommodate that. So some of their staff's going to be down there. This is more or less as a convenience for people to come in there to get a loaf of bread, gallon of milk, you know, kind of a visitor center type deal, that sort of thing.
So you're not asking for gas to be part of that?
At this time, they didn't wish. Now, it is set up to where it could be put in as far as the way the building's built.
But you're not asking for it today because that would make a difference.
It is set up for it, so they could in the future put it, you know, want to put it in, but I'm saying right up front what they're wanting to do is just put the general store in.
But are they asking for the gas part of it?
I think that we probably should in case they do.
Okay.
That way it's clear and there's not a problem later on.
Okay.
And again, point of clarification for me, this is 276 units out of a possible 1,000 units that will be built.
1,100.
1,100. Uh-huh. Same style, general, same.
There are going to be all different kinds of products in there, Sarah, and you're going to be seeing them as time goes on. Okay. We'll be bringing more stuff through. the people from California with Corky McMillan Group is in town right now, and that's what they're doing is in discussion what we're going to do next over there, and they're kind of trying to get their agenda together and everything, so they got their plan of action of what they're wanting to do.
Okay, but right now you're asking for approval for the 276 cabins.
I think there's actually on that plan there 275.
Okay.
Because we took one unit out there when we spread out the parking and
everything. We said we counted 276, and you said something about taking one out.
Yeah, we took one out. I think there's actually 275 there. And the other thing, too, is, Frank, I didn't know with the option of leaving these gravel or paved, if we need to address any of that with the road, with the commissioners, or what we need to do about that in our discussions.
I think last time we spoke, you at that point in time, you weren't sure which direction they would be headed?
I talked to them again, and they still haven't made their mind up.
Okay.
They would like to have the option of leaving gravel, but they're leaning toward paving, okay. And they're with an aggregate type, cover on it.
If there's a deviation from the road standards, then I would want to bring that forward to the commission.
Otherwise, okay. So we just need to set a date with commissioners and bring that?
If there's a deviation from the road standards, yes.
Okay, Mr. Wolf, thank you. Now time for discussion among the commissioners. Any questions? Any?
Hey, you can fire me.
Okay. Is there a motion to act on this at all?
I'll make a motion that we approve the request as presented, with the clarification that it's they're asking for, on the commercial side, a convenience store, which may include gasoline, a general store, and the stables, along with the units, which may possibly be rented out nightly.
The units.
The units.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Is there a second?
On-site management. Make sure you get that in there.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there further discussion? Okay. Call the question. All those in favor of approving this project as presented with the addendums, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Project carries. Moving on to the third project. This project is the Rain Tree Disposal Maintenance Shop, and the representative is here. You may want to come forward in case we have questions for you. Okay, discussion, gentlemen. Lady?
I've got a question for Eddie.
Yes, sir.
30 foot is the minimum for the landscaping buffer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if anything was mentioned just about minimum landscaping buffer, that would be good enough as far as covering him and covering us and all that. Because I don't really see, honestly, any reason to have more than that. It's going to be plenty out there where that's at.
Yes, he lives on site, so
yeah.
You know, in some instances that doesn't really matter. But I think with this gentleman, he'll make everything look good. It'll keep it nice, and you know, in some instances you have requested more of a buffer, but I don't think it's necessary. You know, like I say, that is our minimum. Nothing's real close to the edge anyway.
My concern is I don't want to cause him issues with that east boundary because it's plenty with what he's got there. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And so I would just like to say minimum landscape buffer, which would cover us on our code.
We also did discuss a little bit about the possibility of giving him the latitude to expand. Right now he has the three trucks, and he talked about trading them out, gave you the impression that maybe, and he may not want to request that, but he could possibly want to go to five vehicles out there. So just something, you know, that might save him some hassle. If you're not opposed to that or anything, we'd like to discuss that with him. You know, give him a little bit of room. You don't have to, but.
What would be the maximum amount of vehicles that you would want to have out
there?
Well,
I'm with him. I wouldn't want any more than five trucks out there.
So you're asking for five?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Five trucks.
And I can't remember, did we talk, is there water in the building, and will there be sewage in the building,
ma'am.
Or to the building?
There is going to be a water and restroom. Okay. We've went to the sewer board, and they've approved us, gave us a permit for a 500-gallon tank, and I've contacted Claude Kenning to do the sewer.
And the water is well water, and are you going to be using
through
the same
Taney
water?
County.
Okay.
Water.
Okay. Is there a motion for this project?
I'll make a motion to approve it with up to five trucks allowed.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. With the decision of record being enhanced by the five truck limitation. And you seconded, Mr. Cummings. Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve this project, Rain Tree Disposal Maintenance Shop. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You've got your maintenance shop. Okay. I understand that the representative from Branson Land, LLC, has just walked in.
That's true.
Okay. Why don't you sit down for just a little bit? Because we've just tabled your project, and so we would need a motion to remove it from the table and act on it, if that is the will of the commission.
I'll make a motion. Please.
Okay.
Remove that action.
Okay. Is there a second?
Make a second.
Okay. All those in favor of bringing that back to the table, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now we can go back to Branson Land, and unless we have questions for you, you can just sit down and relax.
Okay. Uh-huh.
We've already talked about it.
Poor baby.
I'm not sure what he plans on doing before.
Okay, so we're...
Buildings are concerned.
We do have a question.
Yeah, okay. And Mr. Edwards, your question was about the buildings.
Those other buildings other than the one, are they coming in, you bring, putting them in there now, or is that if you lease
there
space
will be,
on the tower?
There's one now. Yeah, we lease space on the tower. We currently have one lease with AT&T, so they will actually apply for a Division II permit on their own to bring that, but that is the site plan that will include those, and it will be up to five.
AT&T is going to own the building. I mean, that's going to be their...
Yeah, that'll be AT&T's building.
So if they came off the tower, they would take the building out or make some cover?
Right, absolutely. It's their tower. I mean, it'll be their building.
You're not putting the buildings in. They're going to put...
Right. All we put up is the tower. Okay. Tower, the power.
The application will require that the owner of record sign it before. So AT&T will have to have you sign that as they make the application.
It's absolutely true.
But will any of those buildings be your building, the LLC
none,
building?
None of those buildings will be ours. Unless if we do anything, it'll be we would come and ask for a small shed, but I don't think we'll need anything back there.
Okay, now we're also talking about a statute of limitations for the tower.
Okay.
And that should it cease to have function.
Right, and I agree with that. I think that we would agree to have that be a stipulation of the permit, absolutely.
I think one of the questions I've got is how to word that as far as how long after it ceases to have function. You know, we got to give you enough window to make sure that you're not going to do at least somebody. We'd hate for AT&T to leave
yeah,
the only
right.
one and it have to take it. That wouldn't make sense.
Well, I think it comes down to define have function. Is it because it's completely antiquated or just because we don't have any tenants?
To me, it would be antiquated,
right.
Where, you know, we no longer use it for any type of radio service
right.
or whatever. So that's...
And then it becomes a safety factor.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't think I don't think any responsible property owner would want to leave something like that
okay.
if
right.
it wasn't being used. Okay. So
we just want to make sure that we make sure they're responsible.
Yeah, 90 days, 6 months, so. Or... Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Ready for a motion on this project?
I'll make a motion that we approve the project as presented with the stipulation that if the cell tower, the tower is no longer of any function, that it be removed within 6 months.
Functionally obsolete.
Thank you. Functionally obsolete, that would be a better word. I know she likes to type those big words.
6 months, you said?
6 months.
Okay.
Be removed within 6 months of that time frame.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to probably ought to put that in every cell tower.
Most of them are in the contract.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay, Susan seconded. She got there first. Okay, call the question. All those in favor of approving the motion from Bransonland LLC for a 170-foot self-supporting cell tower, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Glad you dropped in.
Thank you. So I'm really sorry. I got behind every slow vehicle.
Okay, let's move.
Should have flown.
What would you do?
No, I'm going to leave.
Oh, okay, you're gone.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Okay. Are you leaving, Mr. Bronner? This is going to be Mr. Bronner's last meeting with us.
It is.
You can do the Miss America way.
So, is this your last meeting?
This is it. You finally replaced me.
Well, thank
I've
you.
I enjoyed it.
Thank
I
you.
I truly have.
Enjoyed is an interesting verb here.
It is.
Okay.
The company.
Okay, we'll go for that.
And staff.
And vice versa.
Thank you.
Okay, so you're going to tell us, do we have a replacement?
We do. I was going to do it. Yes, we if I'm understanding correctly, Mr. Rick Caudell. Rick Caudell actually lives on the opposite side of Highway 265 from Emerald Point. If you're going down 265 and you would turn left to go down Emerald Point, if you go two more driveways down and take a right, he lives in there. He's been in this area, I guess, forever. When you go down Bee Creek Road and everything, you see the Caudell Lane down in there, and there's a park, Caudell Park. I believe they... I don't know if they donated what deals, but that used to be their land, and that's mm-hmm. their name that's on that. He's currently a real estate agent. My daughter plays volleyball with his daughter, so I know him a little bit.
Is this incestuous or something?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So anyway,
and his term will begin
next month.
Okay.
And there was no there was no need for him to be here tonight,
right,
as he had not heard the projects or anything like that, and he wouldn't have been able to vote had he been here.
Okay.
He also had a previous engagement that prohibited him from being here, but he will be here from now on, I guess.
We just very recently, you know, Joy Staples and Mr. Bronner, is there any way we can do something for their years of service on the, like, invite them to come back to another meeting and...
And have a cake or something.
And have a cake or a plaque.
I will check into that.
The plaques, the certificates.
Yeah, I had talked about plaques and everything like that, and I believe the county, they've got a lot of different boards and things like that, so
right.
I believe they are not prone to do plaques and things like that, possibly a certificate or some kind of proclamation or something like that.
Just something that
acknowledges. But we will check into that. Yes, it kind of feels funny just having him walk out the door.
To say goodbye.
And everything, but... But we will check into that a little further for you, won't we, Benita?
Yes, we will.
Okay, well, let's move on then to the concepts for new projects coming through the process. And the first one is Watkins Subdivision.
This is the Watkins Subdivision right now as it exists. It was a platted minor sub taking in this area right here, large lots. And I'm going to see if I can get you a little bit better picture. You can see on here 10.52, 6.16, 9.87, 16.43. The owner of these middle lots has requested to do some replatting and actually create three lots out of this two. And, of course, our code book states when you increase density in a platted subdivision, it has to come before the board. And the recent admonitions by the attorney and everything, we've decided we're going to hear these kind of things. Sometimes we would do these administratively, but we're hearing them now. So this is kind of a close-up, so you can see the size of the lots and everything that's going on there.
And those are the new lots?
No, these are the existing lots.
Okay.
And as soon as I can find my... And this is where we want to go. We're going to create this, and we'll also move this line here a little bit. And I'm going to go back, so keep this in mind for just a second. And I'll go back and show you. This is how they exist, and this is where he wants to go to. They meet all the requirements as far as a lot size, road frontage,
okay,
everything
and
like that.
The size of the three lots, if you would.
We may have to ask him. I believe this one is now 3 acres.
Okay.
I'm trying to read on here. Is it in our packet? Let me see if it's in our packet. 3A becomes 5 acres, 4A would be 10 acres, and 4B would be 11.31 acres.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Mr. Watkins, is he here? Okay. So why don't you come forward and probably repeat what Eddie has just presented. So, and you want to do this for real estate reasons, I'm assuming, or is this a family?
Yeah, actually, the 5 acres I'm giving to my son to build a house on.
And that's this new one here?
Right.
Okay.
And while I was doing that, I just wanted to create another lot because my house that's on the 16-acre lot now, so I just seen an opportunity to create another lot for the future use.
Okay. And again, could you identify where this is on 176? Is this...
It's a half a mile east of 65.
Okay.
On the north side of the...
To the north?
Yeah, 176.
Okay. Where is it from that very big house?
It's right next to it. My lot touches that lot that I live on now where my house is.
Okay. Very big house.
Very big house. It's for sale if you want to buy it.
I know.
It's got a large lot.
Yeah, isn't that the one that's got like 16 bedrooms or something? It's got a ridiculous number of bedrooms.
It has a lot, yeah.
It's a large family, so okay. But great location. So.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Right. Okay, I don't see any problem with this. So onward and forward, and you'll communicate with Benita about the process and notification and all those good things?
Yeah, we've already had a meeting.
Okay, good.
And we'll, now's when you can put your notice in the newspaper, and as you know, if you have any questions, just give us a call tomorrow, but the process, you know, kind of gets rolling here. We meet next month.
Right.
And everything.
And the notice can go in right now, tomorrow. Okay.
If you have any questions, give us a call.
Okay.
Okay, next one is another lot split, Spring Creek Park lot. Okay.
And I would, I'm going to, there we go. let me back up here just real quick, and I'll tell you what's going on. We're trying to show you kind of the area. You see Green Mountain up here, and mm-hmm. and actually, this is a subdivision here. This is in the county. This is Branson. Mm-hmm. And you see Branson's basically, the city's all kind of all around this and everything like that. This area now has sewer, and maybe has had for a little while, but this particular lot was one of the larger lots in the area. That's the original size of it, and the house was built in the middle. We've talked to Mr. Watkins about, we've talked about the need to have additional road easement here, and what he's looking to do is, and I believe we've got this here, but split it here and here, create two additional lots out of this. Those lots are still pretty close to the same size or larger than the other lots in the area, with the exception of one, I believe, right across the street. I'm going to try and go just a little bit further here and see if we've got that for you. Yeah, there you go. So what we end up with is this configuration here, this lot being what right there, this one with the house on it, and the third lot there, meets all setback requirements, meets all road frontage requirements, things like that, and he is giving, like I say, the additional footage here for road easement.
And that's the only configuration, unless you went to two lots, because of the placement of the property.
Yeah, it gets kind of sticky here, unless you want to make some real odd-shaped lots, because you have to meet setbacks here. You know, there's some other things that, and everything, but of course, again, you know, minimum lot size, and you'll see this one hits it exactly, 8,000 square feet, you know, basically everything comes into play, you know, as it should. So.
And this is right in back of where the big condo development, I can't remember the name of the condo.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Is the representative, am I reading this right? I'll go with either Gillum or Sullivan.
Gillum.
I'll go with Gillum. Okay.
I don't know where the Sullivan came from.
Well, it was a possibility here. Okay. And Brad... Gillum, why don't you come forward and again kind of explain?
They don't have a pointer because somehow these made it home with Dan. So he doesn't have a pointer to point for you, but I'll be glad to try and help him if I can.
Okay. Yeah, basically I was just wanting to be able to have two other buildable lots that I might you know, at some point sell or maybe build a house on.
So basically, real estate purposes are driving you know, this lot split then. And sewer has come down?
Sewer has been installed.
Now, your house is not currently?
No, I have not currently hooked up to sewer, but...
We made him understand before this could be split, that would have to be hooked on,
right.
and he's okay with that. He knows that. And then, of course, anything that would be built on these other lots would have to be hooked on the sewer also.
Nobody in that area is actually hooked up to the sewer yet.
It is available.
But it is, okay. is in.
And where did they run the sewer line then?
It goes to the bottom. There would be to the...
Does it go down here?
Can we go back to the map?
And then it actually runs along Spring Creek Road.
So does it go down Blackberry?
It runs along Blackberry to Spring Creek Road.
Okay.
It actually runs along Blackberry to the center of Blackberry.
So it runs here?
Yes.
So it's out here, so all the sewer will drop out from the front then?
Yes.
Okay.
And what is the land that's immediately to the left? Is that just... undeveloped?
I think Spinnaker Resorts.
I believe that's who it is, because it's the city of Branson.
Okay.
And that's what I was
so
trying
that,
to...
that gets into the Branson city limits.
Yes. Yeah, and you can see, I was trying to see, anywhere you see those purple lines, and I'm going to go back two pictures real quick for you. All these purple lines here are city limits. You know, so, and we're sitting here, and of course you can see they come right up against it, everything, and all around, but... actually, here and this being the resort.
Okay. Don't see any problems with that. Annexing into Branson prior to the lot split would be more difficult. So you're better off to stay in the county here, get the lot split, and then if you choose to annex into the city, then I'm assuming that...
That, and also, I believe, if the structure, the way Branson interprets this, and I'm not going to say this is the right way, but I believe the way they interpret it is if the structure was existing before the sewer went in, you don't have to voluntarily annex into the city, if I'm not mistaken. Now, the two lots beside, once a house is built on those, they may interpret it they would have to voluntarily annex in to have sewer. I don't know that, but...
Because it's city sewer or county sewer?
Well, it's county.
County.
Well, the county built in, but I don't know if they still... Does the county still operate it?
Uh-huh. And I'm sorry. I mean, as far as the way I understand it.
Okay. Well, then, good deal. Annexation may not be an issue at all.
Okay. Again, any reason why this should not go forth through the process? Okay. We'll see you in July.
Okay. Thank you.
Lyle Sankey and a shooting berm.
Mr. Sankey owns property out off of 465 Nolan Road area. Uh-huh. It's you know, a long way out there.
Is Mr. Sankey here tonight at all? A representative for Mr. Sankey? Okay, then
I guess we'll wait.
Take care of that one.
We should almost ask that every time.
I'm sorry?
We should ask that question every time before we get into
I think
discussion.
That's true.
I can't see everybody, so I just didn't know.
Ordinarily, someone wiggles out there. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the National Institute of Marriage, and do we have a representative here for that organization? Okay. Let's move on then with that. Do you want to...
Yes, let me give you a little history on this property real quick. If you will remember, this is out T Highway, out T10, really far out, and then there's a road out there now called Ella. It's not really a road. It's used as a road, but it's actually a flag lot. In 2006, a Mr. Help me out here, Brad. What was the man's name who owned the property? DeLilio. Came in before you and requested to build a bed and breakfast or to have a bed and breakfast, and he wanted to add 5 additional cabins on the site. When you saw that at the first time, the site was a little larger than what you're seeing today. I'm sorry, went the wrong way here. This is the existing site now, but the site at that particular time included this over here and a little bit more area. Mr. DeLilio ran that for a little while, never did build the 5 additional cabins. And the reason I remember this is because I was looking through some history on an adjacent property, and Sarah was quizzing me pretty hard about the additional cabins and this being on a septic system, because it is right now. I was brand new. I didn't know what to tell her, but I was telling her this will be fine because the sewer district will allow this and everything. But she was wondering what was going to happen with these 5 additional cabins and everything like that. I suppose times got tough. I don't know exactly what happened, but Mr. DeLilio split this piece of property off here, and it seems like another piece down in this area here from the original track. Let me get this back on. Come on. Right in this area here. And then in order to make sure that this lot had its minimum requirement at the time, of they made it what we call a flag lot. And so if you look at this, it looks like a road, but this is actually this lot here. And in so doing that, landlocked this property. They have easement rights across the property, but there's no platted easements or anything like that. They have agreements also with this property here. They did go out of business. They said to go into receivership with the bank. And then the National Institute of Marriage, which has been stationed out at Paradise Point, if you remember, has opted to buy this and then to develop it into their facility if they can get the approval. They intend to do this in several different phases, and I'll let Mr. Hoffman get into that for you. But I wanted you to see where this is and kind of the odd shape. One thing we did discuss quite heavily with Mr. Hoffman as they were designing this was making sure that these properties have a good easement, because I told him that just recently we'd been in a situation dealing with easements on a property, and that would be a sticking point for us. So that's basically what goes on. It's going to be a little more than 5 cabins. You know, it will involve a treatment plant and everything like that, and eventually. But I'm going to let Mr. Hoffman take it now. And
Eddie, do you have another laser pointer?
I don't. I'll let you have this one.
Can I borrow that?
Make sure he gets it back.
as you know, it is what it is.
Okay, Mr. Hoffman, here we go.
Okay, the National Institute of Marriage purchased the property, and like Eddie said, the project is 10.22 acres. It does have an easement, an existing roadway easement that follows the existing drive and then angles across to give access to this cabin. there's also a same type of easement that runs along this property line. You can see their drive and their access easement to get to this to the house. Eddie, do you have phase one? Okay, great.
And I think we have these in color when you're ready for them, if you want to go a little further or whatever. But.
Okay. Phase one on the development, there's a little gravel driveway that goes between, on either side has great large oak trees, large trees. It's a tree lined. It's a beautiful entry. And we would, in the first phase, we would like to keep that as our main access point and only have two couples in the resort at a time at the marriage counseling. So it would be real small, using the existing home, the existing residence as the facility. They come on a Monday. It's a 4-day intensive on marriage counseling. They typically stay on site. They do have the freedom in the evening to leave but typically there's not a lot of traffic involved in the people that stay there. So what we're asking on first phase, to leave the existing road, have two couples on site at a time along with the counselors, and use the existing sewer.
So
that's
you're
phase
really not
one.
Looking at new construction.
We're not building any new construction in that. So that would be
that's phase one.
That's phase
but
one.
But then what you're asking us has much more. It has 25
yes.
cabins and a chapel. And
right. Okay. And we'll go through. Phase two, we would still use this building for the dining, possibly some counseling in that, but we'd also build a counseling center. And then we would build the cottages you see here. Be seven cottages. We're in the process of talking to the engineers right now to see how many cabins we could build using the existing septic system. If that is two, then that's what we would probably build actually in our first phase. But we don't know the point at how many cabins we can build before we have to go to a treatment plant system. So really the next phase would be whatever number of cabins to stay within the septic system. We're trying to keep our costs down in the initial phasing until we test the market and things get rolling, and then once that happens, then we can move a little quicker. But in the first second phase, it would really be the number of cabins within that we can accommodate on the septic, and that has to be answered by an engineer study.
Okay, so hold that thought for just
yes.
a minute. Eddie, would you go back to and let's cite this, where this is. Is this off of Lakeshore Drive?
And this is off of T Highway.
T Highway, coming in the other
T-10.
Side.
You sure it's T-10?
Isn't it T-10?
T-30.
It's T-30, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's, is it T-30?
You go
out and go to the left on just out past where Mr. Walker was and everything, actually.
You go down T Highway. You passed is it Honey? No, Timberlake Drive.
Yeah.
And Timberlake Drive is the straight road, straightest road in the county that goes across to Kanakuk. The next street up on the left is Sunset Drive. And Sunset Drive is, if you're driving down that, you'll know it has two Y's that go into it with a landscape area in the middle. That's the road. At the end of that, Sunset Drive, is where the project is.
Okay, that is T-30. Yeah.
Okay, is it close to the bluff at all?
Yes,
it is.
This is the lake. There's a bluff, and there's an existing boat dock down there that has
an elevator
down to it. You can ride down to the boat dock.
It's a cable car type thing, but it's steep enough to be an
it's
elevator.
A zip line.
No zip line. That's a good idea, though.
I know. I think so. Okay. My question, and Eddie, this is, you know, advice to the people presenting this project, because what we're talking about is a short-term project, an intermediary phase, and then a longer-term project.
Of course, we have the master plan. We want to present that. That's what we want to be approved. However, I'm showing the phases.
Build out might be over several years.
My question is, when he goes through this process, does he go through for the ultimate total build out, or does he go to the second part, or do we restrict him to the first phase, knowing full well that as he moves to phase two and phase three that he would have to come back to us?
There's a couple different issues here from the standpoint of the developer. It behooves him to present the whole plan and see if he can get that approved from you, because, as you know, things can change.
Mm-hmm.
And then he may end up with just the big house, and we say you've got to have 10 acres minimum to have a business, and so then he can't add any cabins or anything like that. So it behooves him to present the whole plan to you, and we see this with a lot of different developments. You'll see it with Branson Creek as they presented their whole thing, Big Cedar Lodge, different places like that. As things change, it may force him in a situation to where he has to develop a different kind of treatment plan or something like that, because even now, if DNR, and they have changed rules recently with anti-degradation laws, that especially with him being as close to the lake as he is and everything, there's a lot of extra studies to be done, and they could, you know, possibly step in and say, this isn't going to work. But it behooves him to present the whole plan to you. And then if you want to hear the different phases as it comes along, you can make that stipulation. But it's easier for him to present the whole plan and get approval or denial on that for some reason, and then as opposed to going in there and saying, well, here's what we're hoping to do in the future, but you know, and then things have changed out there and it wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, and the reason
are you going to know next month how many cabins you're going to have?
Definitely. Let me explain. The reason that I'm going through the phasing in such detail, and you'll see in a minute, is because the road system and the easements and those type of things change as we go in through that phasing. I wanted to make clear that you'll understand that. Typically, I would not go through the phasing starting out in the concept hearing. I'd just show you the big plan. Here's what we want to do, and we would never get into this. However, because of the way this is designed and the way it changes as it goes through the phases, I felt it important to show you why we're doing what we're doing.
So does this document most accurately represent the information for the entire project?
Yes.
Then? Okay.
Yes.
Are you ready for this last picture?
Yes.
I've got one more thing.
Sure.
Okay, because this will show you what he's asking for.
Okay.
Which is this document.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And what we want to create is a place for a couple that's struggling in their marriage to come and have a retreat, a getaway, a relaxing place. They'll stay in a little cottage, a little cabin, well landscaped, and it's a place they can come and relax and work on their marriage. And that's the atmosphere we would like to create. You can see this entry road. Once it's built out, it becomes a two-way. We'll build another one-way on the opposite side of the trees. We don't want to destroy any of those with just widening the lane. We didn't want to do that because it'd tear out all those beautiful trees. We build another one way out to provide better access. We have two counseling centers. This is the church chapel. It also functions as on rainy days. If they have any larger activities, it'll have chairs that you can stack up and put in a closet, and then you have a large activity building as well. So it's a multi-function, multi-purpose building. You can see that the existing access runs right through the middle here. That's gone. Now there's a loop road type system with the cabins oriented on a green space with walking trails that ties into a fire pit area. This is the top of a ridge, just a beautiful ridge with large trees, and we wanted the cabins to face into that. And if we have a new road going through there, it just wasn't the atmosphere we wanted. So in the later phases, we moved the road to the outside and make the inside a nice park-like setting with walking trails and landscaping, and I think it's a lot more desirable project.
Where would the water treatment plant be?
There, in the corner, this is the low point on the site. We'll also have a maintenance building down there for laundry and lawn care and all our maintenance needs. There's a small parking lot to access for the chapel. Whenever we have big functions, if we have a wedding there, utilizing the chapel, then they would park in the parking areas on top and down here and at the maintenance building, so that the overall parking could handle a small wedding in that chapel.
And where would parking for the cabins be?
The parking for the cabins are on the road directly in front of the cabin, and the cabins in many instances are set back quite a ways from the road, and you have a little trail that winds back to the cabin. That's another thing I want to make clear. This is not a public street. This is a private drive. We are not selling the units. They will not be sold in condominium or timeshare or anything like that. They look at them as a hotel room that are rented out as nightly rental projects. So this is really a private drive or a parking lot to give access to the to those coming to the center.
How can we counsel him against the term nightly rental?
Actually, these aren't rentals at all. As far as the National Institute of Marriage is concerned, those people coming in will pay, I'm sure, a fee for the services that are there, but these are amenities that are provided. As opposed to anybody off the street being able to come in and rent those is what she's referring to. I wouldn't be able to call up and say, Brad, I'd like to rent this for a couple nights. This will have to be people that are in the program, I'm guessing.
Right. You're correct.
So it's not really not a rental.
Program rental.
I wouldn't even call them rentals. They're just housing units for the National Institute of Marriage.
They don't have
access. Nightly rental has such an interesting flavor to it. Yeah.
So as I see this, Ms. Kleinfelter, we have the original house, mm-hmm. and then in phase three, I believe it is, that house will be extended, which you see is number two for the administration building. You'll see two counseling buildings, which are 900 square feet each. One chapel, which is a chapel multi-use building, and 25 cabins, if I haven't missed.
What about the access to the other property?
The access to the other property, we have talked to this landowner, and she is really excited about the project. She has seen the plans, and she said she would be willing to rewrite this easement to follow the new road system. And we can get a letter from her stating that.
And then wasn't there another property?
This,
down to the
yes,
town?
And this easement will be left as is. And we have also talked to them, and they did not have any problems or complaints about the project.
Okay. And you, sir, do you want to come forward? Is there anything you want to add to what Mr. Hoffman has talked about?
Yeah. This is Mark Pyatt.
Okay, Mark.
I'm the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage, and Eddie, I appreciate you pointing out that these aren't nightly rentals. We primarily work with couples in crisis, and they fly in from all over the world. We see about 400 couples a year. We've been out at Paradise Point for a number of years. Now we're at a bed and breakfast in town, and hopefully until to the point that we can accommodate them here. But they arrive on Sunday, depart on Friday. We provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for them while they stay, and then they're in counseling. And then on the weekends now, with the Friday and Saturday available, we would do some retreating and provide enrichment events, but it would all be marriage-related events where they would stay on property during the event. Hmm.
Okay. Paradise Point, where are you? Are you?
We were in Building 7. We leased the fourth floor from
there. So you're on
that
property out there. Yeah.
And then rented the rooms from Paradise Point.
Okay.
Their Building 7 was a nightly rental building.
Okay.
And then Assembly of God Financial Services Group has since sold that building, or in the process of selling that to Blue Green Bass Pro.
Okay, so you need a place to go.
So we have been, we have turned in our keys at that facility.
Okay, yeah.
Well, this 50-foot roadway that's shown here, is that road going to be eliminated?
That's not an actual county road.
It's a flag lot. It is not a road. It's not a platted road. It looks like a platted road, but it is not. That is actually what supplies road frontage for that lot.
Well, it shows some cabins in that.
There are a few existing buildings on the property now, but yes, there will be. What you're seeing, Ray, is if you're looking at the picture, is that what you're looking at?
I'm looking at this drawing.
Okay, let me make sure we're all
cabins. Looking at the same. Some of them are in that 50-foot right-of-way.
Right. That's a 50-foot roadway easement. It's not a platted road right-of-way. And that's what I said with the adjacent property owner.
The Websters.
We will have an agreement. They have agreed to provide a new access, a new roadway easement. So whenever this one will go away, they'll give that back to us, and we'll provide them a new one in this location.
Where will a new one be?
It will follow the road right here. See the little red dot? And then tie right into their cabin.
Is that going to be a 50-foot right-of-way there?
Doesn't have to, because right now this is an easement. And this is you have to look at this like a condominium project, and that's why I've had the discussion and mentioned to Ms. Kleinfelter also. This is just like the project that you had down on the Acacia Club Road with Mr. Chisholm and Mr. Daniels and everything, where there was already an existing easement across there. The development had its road frontage and everything like that, but they had to keep an easement for the two people that lived down in there. And there's been some issues there on easement, and actually ended up in circuit court and everything like that, and that's why we've made Mr. Hoffman very aware of this, and he has sat with Mr. Frank, Mr. Preston. He sat with Mr. Preston and discussed this also, but we have to view this project with all of the land held in common, because this lot, I don't like the shape of it, but it has its direct access to an existing county road that has more than a 50-foot right-of-way. So everything in here is held in common, just like it was a parking lot. He doesn't have to put 50-foot easements or anything like that. He does have to supply easement to these people across there, but he doesn't have to plat it. Now, if the people behind him came in and wanted to do something, they would need to get a 50-foot platted easement. But he does not, because he has his easement to the road.
And we don't need anything from the people that...
I think it would be a great idea to know that they're in agreement, I think right now that you have easements for these people that carried with the land, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
Right. The existing roadway easement, it gives them access to their property, and that's it. Nobody else can use it. It's for this landowner, giving them access across our property to their property. That we have to.
Before we do that,
we cannot do anything in that easement until we and they agree to give that back to us.
And they will not agree to change the easement.
And they will not agree to give that back to us until we provide them a new easement, which will go here. So we will provide them access and a new access easement following the new roadway system at that time.
So, Ray, what you're asking for is legal documentation that that will, in fact, be the case.
Right. From those two property owners.
Sure. It behooves the National Institute of Marriage to make sure that they don't get halfway through their plans and then these property owners say, nah, I've changed my mind. So to protect you guys, you need something that says in the future we're going to do this. It also behooves the property owner to say, I'm not giving up what I've got until I get what I need.
Right.
So however you want to see that. They have easement right now. They have legal easement to their property. And they have not relinquished any of that or anything like that. But if you'd like to see a letter of agreement between them, you can make that conditional to these guys. They can have it at the public hearing. I think that's a wise thing, yes, sir.
I've spoken to both the Websters, which is the small cabin just to the north. They've verbally committed to provide us a letter acknowledging the plans, and we've provided all of these plans to them. And then I've also spoken to the Sholees, which is the house just to the south, and they're in favor of it as well. So
I still remember that one case where we moved that garage door.
Yes.
We had an agreement.
And that's the one I was telling you about. We were just in court with that, if I'm thinking the same
way. So did that get resolved?
Another few days. They gave 45 or 50 days or something like that. I talked to Mr. Wade just the other day.
Okay.
And
Mark,
he said,
it protects you all as well as, I mean, it would be something I would not proceed at all without an attorney drawing something.
Because people change their mind.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just going to protect you all.
Great. Thank you.
I'd like to have that here for next month when we
take
action on this.
Can I ask a question? Being new, so y'all bear with. I know Eddie says, "Oh God, not another question from her." Do we need to concern ourselves with the treatment plant at all, or the septic? Listening to all this, and just to make sure that there's no illegal runoff into Taney Como, et cetera, and so forth. Do we have that ability to address that? Or is that
DNR? We normally defer that to the regional sewer district. And the reason is, of course, we don't have the expertise to do all that, but the Department of Natural Resources, once you get a certain amount of structures on the property, steps in and says this is what needs to be done. To get through this process, they'll have to have a system engineered to handle their whole place here at maximum occupancy. It
so
may be something.
So we could approve it, but if they came in and said it doesn't work, then
that is correct. We will not issue permits to build. In other words, if you approve this up to this point, and they come back in next month and say the house and three cabins is allowed under this, when they would start into if you would choose to approve it, and you can put that in your decision of record. You know that the treatment plan is going to be required after this point. They'll have to go before the sewer board, who will want to see engineered drawings and everything and how that thing works. And then before those next bunch of cabins could be occupied or even built, they would have to either bond that treatment plant and the collection system of it and then draw their permits to build those, or they would have to put it in completely, and then we would issue permits to build on it.
Okay.
Now, as far as the operation of it, it is controlled by Department of Natural Resources, and it requires monthly testing of the effluent, the end product, and then also I think every 6 months it's a pretty big battery of tests that's required. But that's left up to them and Department of Natural Resources, and they have
to have
a licensed, wastewater management a person to do their testing and everything for them.
So we could approve it, but it could become a moot point if DNR or then...
DNR could say no.
And this is not going
right,
to work. Okay.
And everything. There's all kind of engineering that can be done, whether they can afford it or not, I don't know. But...
Okay.
It is something that is allowed in Taney County. It is something that we do approve with the understanding that these are going to be put in at a certain point when needed.
Okay. Total acreage, again, is 10 acres, a little bit over 10 acres.
Yes.
Okay. Notification process, you understand what that is, and ready to move forward. We'll see you next month.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Let's move on to...
I have... before you tonight, Mr. Altum, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Mr. Altum, concerning the project on 160 down here,
Okay, and this is a permit renewal?
Yes.
Okay.
This is down near, is that Bear Creek?
Right,
adjacent to Blancett Road, the Casa de Luz restaurant that was down there.
Oh, okay.
I'm new at this, so I didn't have the pictures to bring up for you. But it is just a permit renewal.
So the issue is the, okay, again, please, your name?
I'm Greg Altum.
Altum,
A-L-T-O-M is in Mary, yes.
O-M, okay. And you were the developer and the originator of that land use?
For the permit that we went through.
Okay.
This was a request to put in an office building and to store their heavy equipment.
So bring us up to date on that. You have great visibility because we drive by that almost every single day. So we've watched the progress on that particular piece of land. And it hasn't been the most satisfactory progress. So
I agree. We feel the same way.
So let's hear your side of the story and what's happened to you. And that was a permit that was issued 2 years ago?
It was just a year ago.
Just a year ago.
Just a little over a year ago, sir.
So the progress update I can give you is that ideally we had planned to be much further along back when we went through the process in spring of 2009 to be moving forward with the project, and our intentions with the project were to fund it with cash as we did more business. But economically, things took a significant downturn, and that's a whole nother, everybody knows that story, and some bad debts with things that we had done. So we've kind of been climbing back up and working out of state and doing lots of things to get ourselves back in a position to move forward with it. So I guess where I'm at is we'd still like to move forward with it, but we've just been put into a financial situation that we couldn't stay on the pace that we had hoped to stay on.
Okay. And most of all, I think we were concerned because there was residential property immediately behind the lot. We were concerned about the creek, concerned about the heavy equipment that's sitting out there without any kind of buffer whatsoever.
Right, and I think when I've talked with Eddie some maybe on the phone and myself reading the decision of record, the intention was that we agreed to put a fence around the entire project when it was done, and also on the eastern border that borders the residential property, that would also have a blinder or a mesh on it so that it would decrease the visibility. But the idea in our mind was we were going to do that when we got done, after we were done with all the construction, the excavation work, and so forth, and we're not to that point. Obviously, we haven't went vertical yet. Basically, what we've been able to do is do a little bit of the subgrade preparation and stripping some of the topsoil that had to be removed for the project, and that's where it sits today.
And you were going to put a building on that project, if I remember.
That's correct. There was an office and a shop facility that would have been on the closer to the restaurant end of the project. Since then, we put it on that end of the project because at the time, part of that was deemed to be in the floodplain. But since then, I've had a loma done that took up basically that upper part of it. The grass part of the lot has been raised out of the floodplain. There's still a portion of the lot that goes down towards Bear Creek, the unusable part of it that's still in the floodplain.
Question, Mr. Coxey, again, we no longer have a quorum. And so we
cannot... Yes, you still have a quorum.
Pardon?
You still have a quorum.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Frank's still here.
He's sitting right next to you.
Okay, so we could go ahead and vote on this. Yeah.
What's the chance, since it's taken so long and looks like it's going to be quite a while longer before you meet the building? What's your chance of putting that screening up now?
Basically, if that's what it takes if we can get this reopened, we'll do it. I mean, I've priced it to get, if we can just do that one eastern border, mm-hmm. The rough price estimate is like $7,000. And I think that's on the high end, but I know I've priced it from some of the highest, fence companies, the Carnahan Whites. We've used them for other projects, but ballpark is no more than $7,000. We could get that 300 linear feet with the chain link fence and the mesh on it. And a few months ago, $7,000 was kind of tough to come up with.
You're saying seven or 70?
Seven, just seven.
7,000? 7,000.
That's only money.
You haven't been in the construction industry the last couple of years.
I know.
Well, I wasn't here when that was approved. What else was going on in that project? Was another building?
There was a building.
Where you raised that.
He actually didn't have to raise that when there was some lomas in that area also, and when they came back and did the request for the loma, the elevation showed that they were actually out of the floodplain in that area, so he didn't have to bring fill in to do that or anything. The whole project consisted of them building an office building and I believe a repair shop kind of there, if I'm not mistaken, and then the placement of some gravel and stuff like that to park their equipment when it wasn't on a job site and everything. So that's and then the fence around it. But that was the project.
He's going to have fuel tanks.
Yes, sir. I believe there was going to be a couple fuel tanks.
There was
going
to be a container to put the fuel tank in.
Some kind of a berm around it.
That's part of the requirement on the fuel storage.
So all that ground is going to be covered with rock at some point in time. Put equipment on, right? Or are you just going to have them patches in there like you got now?
It'll come, from where you've seen it now, it'll come on that gravel or the pad will come on down towards, there's a right almost to the tree line. But it's not coming any further, because the state right of way and so forth is pretty much we're at that boundary with where the rock's been placed. So that'll still be green space between. At least between the telephone pole or the electric pole that's there and the edge of 160 highway.
Well, those piles of gravel will be spread out?
Yes.
For a parking?
Yes.
So there won't be no material built up there like there is now?
No, sir. No, the intentions for that was to become part of the parking lot and the building pad as we brought it up to the subgrade.
Anybody want to make a motion to extend the permit for one more year? Do you want to add any?
I think we need the screening up.
Okay, so you could certainly add that the screening needs to be done or the buffering or whatever needs to be done as soon as possible. Give him a deadline date.
Well, does he not have to come back completely back through Ben's? His permit is expired, I believe. Isn't that what we...
When does the permit actually expire?
So we make sure we do equally fair with everybody. Mm-hmm. If it's expired.
Yeah, if it's expired, I think...
It was issued on March 16, 2009.
Well, I think it needs to come back to expired. Go through the process.
To be equally fair to other people, but...
Okay. Can I ask a question? And this is part of our ignorance on it, but I was sent a land grading permit renewal, and then so the land grading permit was renewed. And obviously, I understand it's two separate things. But so now I've got a land grading permit that was renewed till next year.
Land grading can be done apart from a Division 3.
Okay.
So that shouldn't be an issue at all if you want to continue.
Okay, and Mr. Edwards, if I'm understanding, you're saying that because the initial permit has expired by what length of time?
March 16th, so April, May, June, it would be 3 months.
But haven't we in the past, if they were expired?
That was the decision you made, yes.
Was that what the decision
yes, sir.
Was when we made that if they were expired, they had to come
so
back?
They would start back over.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you have when? Is it?
I believe y'all decided that about a year and a half ago, if I'm not mistaken, because we had so many coming through that were already expired, and under the guidance, I believe, of legal counsel, it was decided that you could not extend a permit that had expired without rehearing it.
I believe that's right.
Well, I'll make a motion. They go back through the regular process, and at that time we can discuss. The buffering thing, but
again, and especially
at that point,
I think it's important for the neighbors, and their faith in the system. But I'm wondering, could we allow this to be his concept hearing?
And that's what I was going to ask, to see if you would do that, since we were hearing concepts.
So he could get this as soon as possible.
That's fine with me.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So see you next month.
Okay. You'll need to get an application. Get with Benita. Just call her tomorrow. We'll get you lined up on that.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Okay.
I have a couple of pieces of old and new business.
Okay.
If I could, and then I'd like to see where we stand one of these pieces would be the zoning districts, but I'd like to touch on a couple other items before you get into that.
Okay.
A couple of you have been called in some of our Board of Adjustment by Ms. Church concerning the property out on F Highway. If you've been around very long, you'll know she's been in and out quite a bit. I was approached by one of our elected commissioners and said, when are you going to do something about that? And of course, I had been trying for a long time. Things had kind of settled down, and there wasn't anything going on. But she began to actively expand her project out there. Consequently, I've gone through our process. I'm to the place now to where I need to send her. I send everything to Mr. Merrill and get him involved as far as prosecution is concerned. I am trying hard to get her to come before you, but if you'll read the packet that I've given you, you'll see why she probably has an aversion to do that. But nevertheless, she's building buildings without permits. She's without construction permits, and in my opinion, without an active Division III permit. She's created a car lot out there with doesn't have the proper access driveways or anything like that, parking for customers, anything. The car lot was asked for after she began to operate it several years ago, denied, went to Board of Adjustment, was denied, it was removed. She moved to Arkansas. She came back. She's began to go. So I wanted to give you this information here because I will be displayed again as the bad guy that I'm picking on her and everything. And I'm not really picking on her. She happens to be high visibility. It is something that's been ongoing for about a year and a half. I want you to have that in case you get a phone call, so you will be able to see what's going on. She needs to get back before us, and we need to see what we can
the
do.
The acreage, right there. How much land does she have?
She currently has 4.12 acres, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
And I'm assuming that everybody is familiar with precisely where that is on F Highway. Sits off on the north. Always has a for rent sign in the yard for, and I'm not sure what, because the land slopes down, and I don't know, and it goes back to a creek.
There's a creek back there, yes, ma'am.
I don't know whether she has permits for a little. Her original idea was that she would build a couple of little cabins. She would live in the small house, and the cabins would provide her old age retirement. That was the concept there. But since then, it is probably one of the most cluttered things with multi-use kinds of things. There has been a small engine repair shop or a car repair shop, and then there's the issue of like as many as 10 cars for sale on the front part of it. And this woman is slippery like a fox, and doesn't ever understand the system, and never understands what Eddie is telling her, but she understands what she wants to understand. I think it's selective understanding, I think is what that is. When she called me, and something like 45 minutes later, and I'm telling her, you need to come before the Planning and Zoning, make an appointment, and I strongly advise that you get legal counsel, and let the lawyer represent you and your interest to and before the council. It's a nightmare there because she's kind of a loose cannon and has been. I for some reason, Eddie, I want to go back over 10 years.
Yes, ma'am. It started back in the early 90s. That's why I've given you a complete history in there. She would come for approval. They'd say the plan's too complex, we need to change it. And then finally, the Board of Adjustment said, we will grant you approval for some cabins in this house, but there's some stipulations you've got to do to get your points up enough to where you can do this. There was an elaborate septic system. There was the need for underground utilities. There was the need for buffering along Highway F and everything. She went to the elected commissioners at that time asking for relief from that. They said, we can't do anything for you because they didn't deny you. They approved you with conditions. So she went to Board of Adjustment asking for relief from the conditions. And they said, no, we can't do that because otherwise your project would have been denied. And then so she went back to the commission asking again for some relief. And they said, you know, this is what it is. Well, she pulled all the permits to build. So she did have permits at one time. She didn't meet the conditions of the decision of record, so they revoked all the permits. Somewhere down the line, she started a car lot. She got before, they made her come in and said, if you're going to have the car lot, you got to do this. She came in before, she got rejected twice. Then she moved to Arkansas. Well, then she came back, and then you saw a lawnmower out there, and then you saw a couple cars, and then the next thing you know, you see another little cabin built, you know, just stuff like that. None of it has any permits or anything. One of the stipulations for her having the small engine repair, which they did say, you know, we can do that, was that a one-acre track be made to split that off. And so the small engine repair would be on its own track, and the rest of this would be on the and never got split off. It got drawn, never got recorded or anything. Of course, now we can't even do that. She hasn't asked us to do it, but we can't split that one-acre track. She would have to go to Board of Adjustment. But if you'll read through the packet, you can see why she's a little bit adverse to probably coming in to do anything. But I'm down to I've actually written her two more letters than I should have written her. I wrote her this one letter saying, here's what I'm going to have to give to the prosecuting attorney if we can't do something. And that's when you guys started getting your phone calls. So wanted you to have that so you'd know what was going on. And I have talked to Nita Jane Ayers also. She wanted to call and see what was going on with the situation. So she also stated that she would try to get her in before the board. But that hasn't happened as far as I know. She's made no contact with our office. So,
Eddie, I don't know where it means anything or not, but you quote these cases here. She's been before the commission here since that time because she was here once on cars since mm-hmm. I've been on the board.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she spent some time with Mr. Preston, Mr. Preston and I and the current commission. We've all spent time with her. And we're just not getting anywhere. She wants to do a lot more. She will constantly go back and say, I'm grandfathered in. The Planning Commission at one time when she bought this piece of property did give her a commercial designation. They didn't say what she could do on or anything like that. They did give her, you know, and I won't argue with that. I just say, I'm not saying you can't do it. We just got to know what it's going to be, and you can't do everything. So anyway, that's what's going on there. I didn't want y'all to get blindsided anymore with that in case something comes on, you have the case history. We had the air park plats reviewed. Did I discuss that with y'all again? Okay, we did have those reviewed by Eddie Wolf to see what was going on there. He found a lot of issues that I would never find with some of the platting process and everything. Sent everything back to Ms. Warner to let her know that there were some issues that she needed to review all this, and then she could call and schedule a meeting with us. We'd be glad to sit down, try to get Eddie Wolf here, sit down with her, and go over everything to see what needs to be done. Pardon me, at this juncture, I have not heard anything else back from her. So we're just kind of waiting to hear back from that. And with that being said, brings us down to zoning districts. And last meeting we had, I gave you all a copy of some proposed zoning districts as the elected commission and I and some others have sat with the commissioners and brought those to you to see what your thought was on those particular districts and to see if you had any recommendations or changes. When we did that, Mr. Pingleton stated at the last meeting, and he's gone, and would just like to bring you up to speed on what he said. He seemed to think there was a definite need for two agricultural districts. Yes. He thinks we should have a residential type agricultural. It can be agricultural, but he thinks there should be a smaller size there. And then he wanted to remove all of the special use permits out of our C1 neighborhood commercial because it is residential uses that we're doing with that. And he wanted to see us split the commercial into small commercial and large commercial. His deal being the difference between a neighborhood restaurant, I guess like Japanese Kitchen, as opposed to Walmart. And he would like to see some differences between those two, but just let the special use be handled in a residential area since we don't change the zoning on those as far as commercial compatibility is concerned. So that's kind of where we are. Just need to know what your thoughts are, what you would like to send back to the commission.
Well, I would agree pretty much with what Sean has evidently suggested. It bothers me that we look at the entire county with agricultural and do not distinguish between that which is truly a working farm and that which is a hobby farm or 10 acres or less, you know, the 10 acres where you built your house. And, you know, I think there's got to be something that makes that distinction.
Do keep in mind these districts do not deal with assessment, and I think you're all aware of that. But I think as we said last time, you'd like to be able to take this out and flip through the pages and say this piece of property fits right here, and like as I say, Mr. Pingleton was pretty sure that we needed some kind of a residential whether we call it ag residential or whatever the case might be. Mr. Strand, our assessor, of course, will assess that based on his criteria, if it meets the agricultural criteria, whatever the case might be. If you're definitely wanting to see that second, we would need to say what makes it different from the full-blown ag. Is it size of the tracts? Is it because there's a house on it? Whatever the case might be. So
there was a lot of discussion in the meetings that we had with the commission in this particular subject matter.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I can imagine that there was.
But if we as a group want to make a recommendation, then that goes back to the commission, and they can either agree with it or not.
Because agricultural right now is 2 acres and above. Is that correct?
Right now, yes, ma'am. That's the way it is defined at this particular time. Out of our meetings that the commissioner has sent to you and said, what do you think about this as far as making a recommendation to us? The smallest lot size we will create in the rural community where septic is involved is 2 acres, and that's why they settled on that 2 acres. I think they're all in agreement that the probability of being able to raise cattle on 2 acres is, but they didn't look at it so much as that's how you're going to make your living.
But still, if you had a lot.
What's the use?
If you had 2 acres and a family did and they wanted to raise their own beef.
Sure. Or if they wanted to hay. And that's why I'm saying.
It's hard to tell them no.
Maybe. Well, and I don't know that in the zoning that we're going to, you know, you will have some permitted and conditional uses, but if you keep it as agricultural, you don't have to restrict that.
Exactly.
You know, if you call it A2 or A3, whatever you want to call it, and say it's agricultural residential, you may restrict it somewhat, and you're probably going to have to do that with density. How many, you know, what are we going to allow on this property as far as so you'd need to say.
I don't think you can take the agriculture out with anything.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if we sent Mr. Preston out or you out and said, tell me what this property is here, you should be able to see it in here. Right now, I can send you over to Shoals Bend, and it's residential, and there's some reasoning for that, but it's 5-acre tracts, but it's a neighborhood. Right, it's being hayed right now, but it's not going to be cows raised in there. I think their covenants prohibit that and everything, right. So.
I have another question, and that is about R5, and I'm not sure that I understand what manufactured RV parks means.
Well, there should be a slash in there. That's manufactured homes or RV parks.
Okay.
And so, we have two designations in our code book. If you want to make a mobile home park, manufactured home park, whatever you would choose to call that, manufactured takes in a lot of different things as opposed to mobile home. Normally the wheels or the undercarriage stays with it, but there's other manufactured homes too. But we have criteria set up. There's a different change in setbacks and things like that for mobile home parks, And we do have some of those around here. So we do have inquiries as people wanting to set those up. They'll have a piece of property and they want to create a mobile home park. Same thing with RV parks. You know, there's some of those around here. They have a funny way of turning into single-family residential neighborhoods for some reason in Taney County. You know, we do have some criteria for that, and it is something that, as a staff, we've discussed. If you want to build a home in a mobile home park or an RV park just because you bought the lot, you probably should meet the criteria for a single-family residential home if that's what you're going to build there. If you're going to put your RV in there, no problem. But you know, to use one of the previous uses in there, you should meet the criteria for that use. If it's 8,000 square feet with so much frontage, then you need enough RV lots to have that, and then you can build in there. You could do that. But it's something that's kind of gone awry in Taney County. But.
Did you all ever consider a district that was tourism function?
I'm guessing you're saying an area where we put in theaters and things like that?
Well, I'm thinking of theaters, go-kart tracks, you know, mini golf courses, possibly even motels.
Most of the time that would come into you as
just commercial.
As commercial. But if you had a developer that came in and wanted to put in motels, yeah, a lot of different things, you could consider him under the overlay there as a planned urban development of some sort, probably. And you could review the whole project. He may have some places for people to live where he sells condominiums that are whole ownership, but he may do some nightly rentals with that and also have his go-kart track and theater, whatever the case might be. Just offhand in Stone County, Jim Baker did a big place out there that has shows and everything like that. It has single-family homes, has everything, but that would come in under like a planned unit development.
Where would the mountain go?
Underground.
Underground.
That would be commercial.
Okay, not industrial.
Industrial gives you the is an indication that you take some kind of raw material or several pieces of prefabricated material and then you make a finished product out of that. Now, in some ways...
Building boats or boat trailers or...
Fireplace mantles, you know, different things like that.
Cabinet shops.
When you get into electronics, it can get a little screwy. I can see where you say, well, they're taking a signal and they're doing this with it. You know, but normally, normally with industrial, you're going to have a little more pollution type effects. You're going to have a little more trash. You're going to have a little more noise and dust, or you're going to have a little more wastewater, something to that effect.
Okay, if the mountain is commercial, then Bob Simmons, Tri-Lakes Asphalt Caverns are also just blanket commercial, even though their use is predominantly storage, multi-use storage kind of thing?
I'm not real familiar with what they do. If they're
put
just
stuff underground.
Thank you for that. if they were actually creating the asphalt for the finished product, then
no, I'm not even talking about that part of their function. I'm talking about their storage, their underground storage. Yeah.
Are they creating the gravel and everything on site?
They already have.
Okay, so. You know, that I'll have to get into the definitions a little more, but yeah. Basically they are a quarry, which we probably shouldn't be having.
They're not storing anymore. I think they turned that over to the mountain.
To the mountain.
But that...
They're still mining.
Yeah, so, and that falls under, it's not in our jurisdiction. We don't, I mean, we... Well, it's right there in your book. But we don't go into that. That's handled by Department of Natural Resources. If we don't have that property zoned for something else,
but if they build it above ground, then we do have.
We would. Do. Now, if they're open mining, like on 165,
right.
then we once it gets an approval, that's under the jurisdiction of DNR. You know, so.
Can I ask you, how soon do you need like an immediate, I have read this and have put some, you know, jotted some notes down, but I'm not sure a week is
Sure.
So now, to cover everything.
The commission would like for me to try to bring them something that they can move forward with within 30 days. But that's been about 3 weeks now, if I'm not mistaken. But I'd be glad to sit with you on an individual basis, or if a couple of you want to get together. It's the only time I get to see you is, you know, once a month.
Because you live in Forsyth. You live in Branson, we could have lunch.
I live in Hollister.
Oh, okay. I could go to Hollister.
And if you're buying, just tell me when.
Okay.
So, but
do I have an expense account or anything?
But I would be glad to sit with anybody, you know, because it is a lot to digest and everything. I just, you know, basically was looking to see.
I mean, I really hate to make a decision tonight. And
that's fine.
And then turn around and think, oh, we didn't consider this, or.
And there's really.
I believe with everybody except for Mr. Edwards, we have an email address. And I would be glad to take some time with each one of you that would like to. And I can get you this, I can get you the compilation of everything together. Back to email, and I can run it out to Mr. Edwards. That's not a problem, and we can probably take another week and say maybe by a week from tomorrow we need to have something back from you. If you've got some concerns, either contact our office or whatever the case might be, and then give us some time before this week's out to kind of put all the ideas together and then get them out to everybody, and then by.
Because Sarah's brought up some valid points, and Sean, you know, he's not here right now, but he has brought up.
Sean
some
did
valid
ask
points.
If he could come by on Wednesday and sit with us. And kind of see what was going on. So, but whatever the final product, you guys need to agree on that. And unfortunately, if we're going to make a recommendation, we can give you something to look at, but we're going to have to push it off until our meeting next month because you have to vote on it, and we need to do that in a public meeting. So I'm not pushing you. If you need more time, you need more time. That's what I'll tell the commission. That's not an issue. This is big stuff.
It is. I think it's important because it's something we have to live with for a while. So,
do you know what time? Did you set a time to meet with Sean?
I do not have a time with Sean yet. He was going to call me, but he said, "Can I get with you on Wednesday?" And that's the last I heard. But if you would like me to contact him and see when we can get together again,
I'd like to sit in on it.
Okay, sure.
Possible ability.
Okay. Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
Adjourned.
Mr. Tarvin, did you have anything to say?
Oh,
no?
Sorry.
Mr. Tarvin was here in case we actually got somewhere.
What a concept.
Can I, one quick, this environmental learning thing, what do I file that?